You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, my guest is Pamela Wilson. Pamela is a teacher of Advaita Vedanta, which rises from the Hindu school of philosophy that teaches non-duality, or the true nature of self, in relation to all. Pamela gives satsangs, a gathering of people to honor truth, to rest from the conflict and confusion of the world, and to take refuge in the heart. She travels around the world sharing this wisdom with others and is supported by her church, Fellowship of the Heart. To find out more about Pamela or watch her videos, click into the links and learn more, go to www.pamelasatsang.com. And we'll repeat that during the show. So let's have our gathering here right now with Pamela as we welcome her. Hi, Pamela. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Wonderful. Now, when did your spiritual journey begin?
Probably back in 1976, I took transcendental meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And loved the resting in the stillness, and that was how it all began. But of course, before that, we're all great lovers of nature and stillness.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I know that for me, when I was in my teenage years in Santa Barbara, I used to just thrive on it. I would drive up into the mountains and sit by a creek, climb up there and just meditate and listen to the water. And something happens, or happened to me, and I think it happens to many of us, that pulled me into the chaos of cities and life. And for many years, I kind of got lost. I mean, quite a few years, maybe 30 or 35 years. I still, you know, did Vipassana and various other teachings, but it's very difficult to return to that, to nature, it seems, when you're living in a city. So now I'm living in nature, and nature is teaching me, and I'm relearning how to go into it and be in that stillness again. So it is kind of a cycle. How do you see that?
Well, I resonate with exactly what you say, and I'm sure listeners will as well. It's just the nature of busyness that it distracts us from what's real or what's underlying and at the heart of everything.
Now, I know that there's a lot of chitter-chatter on the Internet today about so many things. It, obviously, in this density that we're in here on wherever we are, that there's a lot of turmoil that appears to be going on outside of us. And there's a lot of talk and worry and concern and fear about things like Comet Elenin and various conspiracies and so on and so forth. Dates coming to an end, people moving around on the planet. What is really going on?
Well, what I notice from just being aware within is that anything that wants to uncontain itself or come out of an old-fashioned structure will sometimes flare up before it comes to rest, and that definitely feels like what's happening with a lot of the man-made structures in the world right now. They're all flaring up before they come back into more of a balanced, authentic service. As far as I can tell.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me, too. How do we break through the illusion that we are individual personalities or beings or egos or whatever you want to call it, spirits, souls, and see the interconnectedness of everything and remember that there is no out there, that it's just a show, a kind of smoke and mirrors that we fall into when we focus on it and identify with it.
Well, I like inviting friends to just bring their awareness within or notice what's asking for attention within, mm-hmm. and to function as this soothing, still presence that everybody already is. Because once we soothe the mind and the body, then we can see what's really true. But it's the mind and body, they're like musical instruments, and that the strings are too tight, so then the music doesn't play, you know, harmoniously or beautifully.
So, as I understand it, the underlying reality is harmony, and we're just out of tune.
Nicely said. The orchestra is a little chaotic.
Yes, and as I understand it, there have been a few strings that have been missing or removed through our own ignorance, I guess you could say, or through our own creation, and that appears to be a duality or division where there's an us versus them going on. And so when we step out of the fear of this illusion that there is anybody out there doing anything, then we can return to the awareness of the truth, which is that we are all one already, and we are already we're not in this realm. This is just a place that we come and go from. Am I saying that in a way that
well, it resonates for you, right?
Right.
That's
How would you put it?
Well, pretty much the same thing. We're all just separated by a common language. basically, you know, there's only one stressor, really, and it's tension or pressure or misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And as soon as everything gets stressed or tense, then the clear seeing, the natural clarity is apparently diminished, and then the misunderstandings take the stage. And we'll notice that in life, right? Regularly,
yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah. So once again, I'd like to invite people to actually start with themselves, because we all have a genuine longing to be of service and to help everything return back to balance.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if our system isn't in balance, then, you know, actually whatever function we play will be also imbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could just soothe a little bit inside and have compassion for our musical instrument, the body mind, and the amazing sensitivity that is who we are, and it just helps everything come back into rest. And from there, we can respond from moment to moment.
Oh, I love that. That is so beautiful. It's just wonderful. It's so perfect. And so true. When you were talking, I was bringing up images of how we've gradually fallen into a kind of trance that sustains stress and fear, a lot of that seems to have to do with just falling prey to the conditions that are around us, and then we turning to pharmaceuticals and various other forms of escape to bring us back into the balance. And of course, that just further imbalances our own harmony.
Yes, nicely said and noticed.
Thank you, thank you. And so until, and then we start to become more fearful the more we see what we're creating out, quote, out there. And then that further extends into a manifestation where what we're expressing shows up out in the field that's coming and going. And then it appears that there are bad things going on.
Well, there's definitely, you know, suffering and challenges and lack in the world. And for that, we have a lot of compassion and really honoring of the resilience of people that are dealing with that. But I like to work at the root misunderstandings. I used to always be up in the tree of life trying to prune the branches, but then I would notice that the branches or the held beliefs would just reassert themselves. So then I went deep into the roots of the tree of life and just noticing and inviting folks to really look at what resonates for them, because if there's fear, it's basically not the whole truth or the truth. And of course, you know, the radio and the media get our attention through fearful reportage and everything, and yet it's the same function that the mind uses to control us all, which is to project fear, get the nervous system agitated, because then we're controlled. We go back into the habitual behavior, and we've all noticed that doesn't work or serve.
Is there a difference between the individual mind and the mind, And if so, what? How do you see mind operating?
Well, the mind is pure intelligence, and it's been trained well and trained badly, I would say. And what it really needs from us is for us to function as the sage within, to function as clarity and kindness inside. And when we do that, then the mind can rest. And then it's very important. I always recommend to friends that they show the mind its true nature, because otherwise it goes back into stressed, habitual functioning.
Yes.
Doesn't serve anybody.
Right. Right. And then we're not aligned with the truth. And, of course, if we're not telling ourselves the truth, then we're living in some kind of distorted version.
Yeah. So what's lovely about having the intelligence that's called the body back us up is it will send us signals instantly when there's something that's not the whole truth being presented or moving through, meaning it gets nervous. It gets unsettled. And then we can notice that and with some kindness or clarity help it discern and then see what's really true.
It does seem that it takes a desire to see it, to be truthful with oneself, and to move out of denial in order to move back into balance, begin to move back into balance. Is that is that right?
Yeah. I would invite folks to start with where they're I mean, each one of us effortlessly notices remaining stress or agitation or suffering because our nature is compassion. So we can just start by noticing if something is restless or needs some rest. And from there, we just start there. And then that comes to rest, and we can honor that. And so it just unfolds, but each one of us can actually serve the liberating or the soothing or the return of the group consciousness back into a a natural rest by just doing this for our own body minds, and it's very practical.
Yes, yes, very practical. Now, do you recommend things like meditation to also do that, or how do people... Yes, go ahead.
It's really what each unique being's resonance is. I love resonance because it's a non-conceptual supreme intelligence.
Yeah.
And each one of us, for some friend, it might be golfing or jogging or playing music or contemplation or gardening or cooking. We don't really know, but each one of us knows what allows our system to rest.
Yes, yes, yes. I like that a lot. That's wonderful. Now, what I've been noticing lately is that... it appears that this what my life or the world around me is like a mirror, or a teacher, and it's continually revealing to me what I need to see, and that my body is also my teacher, and that it's a feedback loop within itself. And yet there's a feedback loop outside of that and a feedback loop outside of that. But the main one is in the center.
Yeah, and in the center of everything. I agree. Beautifully noticed. Yeah, because everything is made of intelligence. We just have, you know, a concept about intelligence. But, you know... intelligence is another word for the divine or for this pure intelligence that has no concepts and doesn't use thought to animate the world or keep the planets up. Or everything is made of this. So that means every human being is also made of it. You know, sometimes it doesn't look like the human tribe is supremely intelligent. But it's just because under pressure, the concepts seem to live the life rather than the resonance or the heart or the the clarity.
And also, when we are believing, it seems that it comes down to a lot to our belief systems, and the more that I'm able to shed my beliefs and concepts that are in division or duality, that duality dissolves.
Absolutely, yeah, because duality is just a perception.
Right, right.
And it's a beautiful perception because even the perception of other allows for experience and love and uniqueness and all lots of beauty as well as suffering.
Yes. Yes. And I've, you know, read a lot on, and of course that's the mind that is taking in information, but what resonates here is that we are non-local, and that we are not confined to this body-mind biosuit.
Yeah.
And when I start expanding my awareness to live that and remember that nothing is moving, there is nothing moving. And sometimes when I'm driving, I'll have that thought. It's kind of take me back to my early acid trips or, you know, whatever that I did years ago. When I had cosmic consciousness, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is great. This is how it is. And merging with all and feeling the ocean and just being. And sometimes I'll have that little moment in the car where I'm driving and I'm looking at the visual screen around me, and I think, well, nothing's really moving. If you just remember that, then you're okay. You're in the center. And then that will be a shift into... that space, and I seem to function a lot better.
Lovely. Yeah, because you're rooted in yourself.
Right.
But the main thing that friends don't notice about themselves is, yes, they are the spaciousness of the heart, but they also have the deeply rooted mountain strength
mm-hmm.
within us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once that is noticed and nourished, then we can really relax into being the heart of everything.
Now, so that we, a lot of people are talking about the great heart, or moving from the left brain to the right brain, and then from there to the heart, which is has its own mind. There's a lot of definition going on about what is. How do you perceive the heart, and what, how that manifests through us?
Yeah, well, it's who we are, which is, you know, and even if any friend listening right now has some doubts about that,
mm-hmm.
I would just like to speak of it in a sort of really ordinary way. Just the fact that we are so sensitive, and not just the nervous system, but this open, intelligent awareness is just very, very aware and sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the word heart points to, meaning it's already all-welcoming, everything is granted free access through it, within it. So already we are that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's why also friends might notice the tension or stress or the movement to defend the whole security system within
mm-hmm.
in the mind and in the body, and that also points to that you are something precious and open.
Yes. Yes, and that brings up the adage, you are what you eat.
Oh, that's scary with the modern kind of food that's out there.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, of course, we could go down a branch of the tree on that one if we wanted to, couldn't we? I think that's pretty much been tossed around already. We can see, quote, out there, what we're creating through not being with ourselves.
Well, it's just, you know what? People call spirituality is just very practical invitations that have been noticed to work and passed down for thousands of years, and they're all unique in every tradition. And yet it boils down to relaxing
mm-hmm.
and honoring yourself and all other beings. That includes animal beings and nature, and it's just very practical because it allows you to rest within.
Mm-hmm.
And the great mm-hmm. quote of Jesus is, follow me and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he wouldn't have said, well, maybe he would have said, follow me, because he was sort of an itinerant messenger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But really I would say, listen or look within and rest.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
that is the greatest gift you can give yourself and your family and your community is to return back to your natural, restful intelligence and function from there rather than functioning from stress, which is so popular.
Right, and from that intelligence, we can, everything is accessible to us. We're not limited by the mind or that we consider the brain to be. We are in pure intelligence, and it's so simple and obvious, you know, at times, and at other times, of course, I get distracted and I this and that, and when I get that nervous feeling, like you said, the body tells me, well, this is violence. This is a violent show. Are you sure you want to watch that? You do want to take that in?
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you really want to take that in? Is that necessary? And you know, horror shows and I mean, I'm just have been desensitized, just like everyone else, with the program, but program beliefs. But what I'm feeling from you is that once we return to ourselves, that the outer, the appearance of the outer changes. It changes the screen that's the mirror that's coming back to us, shows us somehow, not necessarily instantaneously, but if you know how to see, then you can see where things are shifting. Does mm-hmm. that make any sense?
Yeah. And then we just notice that when we are relaxed, like people can just check on their experience of their work week versus mm-hmm. the weekend. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. on the weekend there might be some unwinding that happens, if we're lucky. And then the experience, which is called the weekend, is a very different one than the experience of the week days under pressure. So then the culprit is not the job or the world or people, it's pressure.
Mm.
So we can notice pressure and be with it in a different way,
mm-hmm.
and that allows the body-mind to relax again.
Wow. Wow, and there is so much pressure
yeah.
surrounding us. It's like a pressure cooker. You know, when the spout's
about to
come off. It
might make for good rice, but it doesn't make for good experiences.
Right. It's kind of like we're in the frogs in the pot, and we're just reaching, maybe we've gone over the boiling point, I don't know.
Mm.
But I'm seeing visions or images of, you know, games and yelling and violence and things that keep us agitated. And if we were truly calm, we would be able to be around that and observe it and not necessarily participate in it.
Well, you have to look at the root of that.
Yeah.
So what is it in the human condition that needs stress and tension to maintain itself?
Uh-huh.
And it's a misunderstanding that the mind has that its awareness will be enhanced, or this its intelligence will be enhanced through fear or pressure or as if, mm-hmm. and it also does that in the body. It adds adrenaline to enhance the natural keen intelligence under
mm-hmm.
pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a strange human habit that each mm-hmm. one of us can soothe with a little compassion. Because it actually doesn't work. Intelligence, A, can't be enhanced, and awareness does not need adrenaline to enhance its keenness, you know?
Right. In fact, those things take us out of the intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned the Tree of Life, and this is coming up in all around in various reemergences of the Gnostic mythology and various other teachings. Can you tell us a little bit more about what is the Tree of Life and how?
Well, it's just one way of speaking about all there is.
Okay.
For instance, okay. what we'll notice about just a tree is that just the way we were meant to live is that trees are incredibly rooted and unmoving, but they're also responsive and flexible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And their main nourishment is that which is formless. So sunlight is formless. Water is pretty formless. The sap of the tree is formless, but it is incredibly nourishing. So where humans have gone slightly astray is they're looking for their nourishment in form. Now, of course, we love to eat, and we love gazing at nature. And but if we start to notice what really nourishes us,
mm-hmm.
it's actually sunlight. Friendship is formless. Sunlight is formless. Music, it's formless. It's really amazing to bring our awareness to this stillness that is so incredibly nourishing, that is the center and the heart of everything. Maybe then we could all rest, because if once you find that oasis, then you don't need all that secondhand love and secondhand nourishment.
Right. Right, it's kind of stepped down several levels or more.
Well, everybody just placates their body-mind because there's some idea we can't have what we really want.
Right, right.
Satisfaction or
yeah.
love, the constancy of love or respect or
right.
some misunderstanding about that.
And if we're in the program belief systems that teach us or that plant the seeds of thought and belief that we need to do this to be better, we need to have more money, we need to have more things, or we need to have better things or different things, and then people start to admire the stars and, oh, I wish I could be like them, and then pretty soon you have a form of worship, and that seems to be kind of like a warship against the self.
Ah, well, you can't mess with anybody's devotion.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because we're all so unique, and we're going to express our true nature, which is devotion,
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
every which way. So
mm-hmm.
if a friend's devotion is golf or a certain
mm-hmm.
Beautiful tradition, then I am going to respect that because that's how uniqueness is expressing itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it hurts them, then maybe as a friend I might, you know, invite them to notice that. Yeah. And if there's not a real abiding satisfaction, I would really invite people to notice that. Because our nature is something, we could call it devotion, gratitude, satisfaction, stillness. It's really at rest within itself, and it's the mind that's restless, that's hungry for experience and new objects. And
Because
it's also trying to find rest, and it was told in Western culture, well, if you have this and if you get to do that, then you'll be happy. And then it notices, gee, well, I've had that and I've done that, but where's the happiness?
It's
frustrating for the mind.
Yes.
It was sold a bill of goods. It's like, hey, where's this Western dream?
Right. Wow, I love that. That's nice. Yeah, bought and sold and signed and delivered. The contract is there. Well, I have a hard time with when I look into the suffering in the world and what's happening apparently out there. And out of this compassion, it seems there's a frustration that wants to change or open the path for other people.
Yeah.
And it sometimes gets manifested in a distorted way. And it's how do we deal with the frustration of things, people, of the suffering that is happening and
yeah.
the horrors that are occurring all around us. How do we detach and deal with those feelings?
Yeah. Well, A, we don't want to detach and deal with them.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I find there's part of frustration is actually divine. There's a natural fed upness with this ongoing this ongoing harshness and not sharing and greed and war and all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's natural and mature to notice all that, and also not to like it, so to speak, to be outraged.
Okay. Okay.
It's, I find it actually healthy and mature.
Oh, good. I
now,
like
from
that.
There, then we have to bring the belief, I of myself can do no thing, which is partially true, but it's not the whole truth.
Uh-huh.
Because each one of us actually has the ability as this life itself, as the divine, to be of service and actually to balance that which is imbalanced. And it's another thing we were sold, this idea that, well, we can't do anything because we're just one friend. Now, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So I invite folks to really be with the frustration and kind of fan it a little bit, to let it really rise up and uncontain itself.
Oh, I see. I like that. Makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. It's very simple.
It's life is saying, do you really want this to continue down the same road? It's always continued down, which is the hierarchy of some people having this and other people having nothing,
mm-hmm.
and not sharing the food, and it's a misunderstanding. It's an ugly misunderstanding that's born of the misunderstanding that there are others.
Right.
And that some folks are less than and some folks are more than. And I think we're all fed up with all of this.
Yeah. Intentionally?
Well, I think it's clear seeing to know. I was sitting minding my own business, and stillness showed me something, and it really struck me, because it said, if everything comes and goes, how does suffering stay the same? Why is suffering what is? You know, and there's even certain sages who just say, well, this is the realm of suffering, and it's how it is, and how it always has been.
Mm-hmm.
But if everything comes and goes, how can suffering maintain itself? And its suffering isn't even its true nature. Lack isn't even true nature. So mm-hmm. here we are in a realm of amazing bounty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an apple tree basically will fall over with the amount of apples it gives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no hold back in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So is it enough for everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, but if you go to people's houses in the West, for me, I'm always struck by the hoarding function.
Yes.
It's just like, oh my God, what are you saving that for? And, you know, it comes from. You know, people that have lived through wartime and all that sort of thing. But it's the same misunderstanding that if I hold on to everything, then I won't ever have to encounter lack in the future. But here are friends, there's some friends that don't even have shelter.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just really invite everyone as the heart to notice where you're drawn to being of service, and just say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just say yes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so beautifully said. So beautifully said. And it's an important message that we all need to, well, I need to be reminded of. the hoarding, it seems, is no different at the extreme levels of owning everything, the control, the attempt to control everything. And we're in this microcosm of hoarding for, you know, the collapse of the economy or this the thing or that mm-hmm. thing. Hard times are coming. And my father lived through the Depression, the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was raised with this belief that you know, it was so terrible, and it was terrible.
It was, yeah.
But it was unnecessary.
Well, it's just we have to go back to the root, because the mind, oddly enough, since the mind is formless, we could say intelligence is formless. It creates structures for itself to enhance itself and to give it security.
Mm.
And then that happens in the world. Now, the structures, if they're not born of clear seeing from clear intelligence, but are born from identified and thus fearful intelligence, they're all designed to collapse. So we can just start, I really invite friends, liberate your own mind first, because since there only is one mind, when your mind comes to rest, then you send a deep, soothing invitation to the group mind. So the problem isn't in the economic, you know, financial markets or in the economic structures, or it's in the identified mind that perceives other and perceives lack and then wants to hoard and steal from others. And it's the only tragedy that's out there. And it's not life that's let us down or people. It's this one mind that's under such pressure. And it'll do anything for security, and we'll notice that. It'll kill, it will steal, it will lie. You know, so that's why the greatest gift we can give humanity, other than returning to our naturalness, is to liberate our mind that's making all the trouble.
Right. That just makes so much sense. That's how I'm seeing it. It doesn't mean that I'm able to be that as much as I would like, but in my clearer moments, that is the truth.
Well, it's who you are, so even if you don't notice
right.
That's totally okay. It's still who you are.
Right.
Because I doubt if an elephant goes around saying, "I am an elephant," all the time, you know. He doesn't have to, or she doesn't have to, because that is what is.
Right. Now, what about all these, I'm just going to throw some words out there that seem to be common beliefs in the with many people who are following a spiritual path. And it has to do with densities and dimensions and going from one to another and ascending and being lifted. And then in conjunction with that is the idea of God, Creator, or Source. Can you bring us some clarity on that?
Just speaking to the first part of the question, each one of us is omnidirectional and not locatable as formless presence. Now, only an object can ascend or descend or even progress. So a lot of those words point to an individual person. And they always use this phrase, making some headway. Now, headway is usually not the way we want to go.
Yeah.
Right. So I just invite people to rest, soothe their body, mind, and then notice the constancy of who they are. They're the only constant. The only constant is this aware gazing and listening and being. And then everything else is moving through that and noticed by this constancy. And then it returns to this beautiful second part of your question, my word, I rarely use the word God, but mm-hmm. I definitely love the word divine.
Yeah.
My teacher, Robert Adams, used to start his gatherings with, "You are divine. You are not who you appear to be." What a beautiful way to start and live and rest into that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And also it seems that those other words create an artificial division between ourself and ourself, or the divine and this aspect or this manifestation of the divine.
Yeah. And it can seem to, but we all start where we start.
Right,
you know,
right.
So I used to think that it would be who I thought I was, that one would be liberated.
Right.
But
right.
Then the final teachings in every tradition say, no, you're already free.
Right.
Because formless, intelligent presence cannot be bound and thus needs no liberation. And that's very relaxing. So once again, we're back at the truth is relaxing.
Yes.
And
yes.
Homework often isn't relaxing, and time cannot be relaxing, and postponement. And
right, right. Is there such a thing as time? Is that something that we're binding ourselves to artificially, and that we're already in no time?
Well, time, I always have this joke, the ego was invented in Vienna, and time, who knows, I think maybe the Swiss invented it. I mean, they're certainly great with clocks, and it's a fabulous function. We all wear, for the most part, a wristwatch, and it's yet another function or form or structure that allows us to communicate and show up and have appointments and all that sort of thing and know what time your favorite show is on and all that. But really what we'll all notice, and it's really ordinary, is that when we're relaxed, time expands, and when we're stressed, it shrinks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like 5 minutes, if you're stressed, seems like a minute, and 5 minutes when you're incredibly relaxed just feels like 15. So it's very rubbery, it's formless, it's just a lovely function, but it's not what's ultimately true. So if I could interview a tree and ask what time it is, the tree would say, "Never heard of it." So if a tree hasn't heard of it, it's probably not real.
I like that. That's good. That's nice. I'm going to try to... I'll have to write that down. So I can... My mind can remember. A lot of different ideas center around the concept that we have a divine spark within us, or a soul, or an essence, and some are saying that we actually are a ball of light, a star, that is boundless and formless. That again creates a separation between us and everything else. Can you add some clarity to...
Well, it's, you know, each one of us will speak uniquely about what we notice, and and that's beautiful, because if we resonate with it, if it, you know, really sends a deep, soothing, curling your toes kind of feeling, then that's your resonance. But each one of us will use certain words. And separation is just another perception and function that allows for experience and the play of life. And it's also made of nothing, so it doesn't really matter. Separation can totally come rest and is very welcome here. But, you know, as we're everything and nothing, so any word we could say, yeah, I'm that.
Right,
and,
right.
And
right.
In the realm of no thing or formlessness, we could also say, yeah, and I'm not that.
Right.
Both are true.
Right, right, right. I was thinking about a CD that was done by a, I can't remember who it was, but it's a, you know, a very renowned Hindu teacher, and his main teaching was neti neti,
mm-hmm.
not this, not that.
Right.
Is that one way to regain some centeredness?
Well, it's a very helpful pointer.
Okay.
That, you know, you're not your body, you're not your mind, you're not your thoughts, you're not your personal history, you're not your role, you're not your ancestors' conditioning,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. It's very helpful. But what happens is then people kind of laminate it, or actually the mind laminates it,
mm-hmm.
And it all sorts of pointings, they're just invitations to notice what is, and then you can invite them to rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to, my joke used to be, neti neti and then yesi yesi. I am this, I am that. Because the final truth is, you're not just your body, because you
right.
also are your body.
Right.
You're not your body, and you are your body. Both are true.
Right. And being able to contain paradox seems to move me out of dualistic thinking.
Beautiful. Beautifully noticed.
Thank you. Yes, it's, you know, one of the red flags that goes off for me is when people say, well, is it this or is it that? Black
yeah.
or white. And I know instantly that they're not thinking clearly, because there is not just two things, and it isn't just either this or that. It is everything and nothing. And it
yeah.
And so when I step outside of the dualistic thought forms that are being expressed, then there it's a little clearer, and it moves me into a state where I'm holding many paradoxes simultaneously. And that seems to be a pleasant place to be.
Mm.
It's
disturbing. Yeah, you're noticing what is.
Right. Right. And then I see people, you know, with headphones and games and phones and text, and I think, well, I guess that's what they need to do. And
well, that could be their pleasure in the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so much of those sorts of things, at least the games and everything, as they're instruments that allow certain friends to relax, to come out
right.
of their head, maybe.
Right.
So whatever gets a friend out of their head is actually kind of wise.
Right. Right. And there can't be any, there needn't be any judgment about anything, because that brings our state of relaxation that moves me out of it. It moves me out of my state of relaxation.
Yeah. Yeah, and judgment is also a divine quality that's just under pressure. So the more we can liberate all these human qualities back into their, to help them see their true nature,
mm-hmm.
You know, then we can notice more relaxation.
So in this body, there is no place to go or nothing to do and nothing to achieve, and there is no such, there's no enlightenment, and there are no others.
Yeah.
But, and yet, there are. Well, it does get kind of funny after a while.
It is. That's why it's a tragic comedy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. What else can you share with us that might be helpful in our journey?
Well, you know, there's some basic things that friends overlook that are so ordinary, and the fact that they're so ordinary and constant is what allows them to be overlooked, so it's also part of the play of life. But, you know, we notice we can all hear sound. That's just an effortless noticing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that points that our nature is silence or stillness.
Ah.
Now, we rarely reflect on it's silence can hear sound. There's not a person there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quietude hears sound. And that's a really fun thing to notice. And it's sort of, there's like a purr in the body when it notices that.
Oh, yes. Indeed. Yes.
And then just the fact that we can notice movement, like I'm looking out my window now at the wind gently moving the leaves, and it's the unmoving stillness that can be effortlessly aware of movement. It's actually drawn and fascinated by movement. So that's confirmation that who we are is silence and still.
Right. Right. I'm moving into that space, and I have to remember I'm on a radio show talking to somebody about.
Yeah, you don't want to get too silent now.
Right. Well, it's okay. There's nothing to do. Let's just be together.
That's right.
And
also, the other thing people don't notice is two more things I'd just like to speak to, if that's all right.
Good.
One is I used to think I had no value when I was quite young, and I think it's a common, if people look deep within, there's some misunderstanding about value and that value can be enhanced or lessened. I used to think I had no value. And then one day I noticed, well, I'm very defended for having no value. And that just the fact that there's stress in the body and survival strategies and all that sort of thing, that points to that we are infinitely precious. Because we are life itself.
Mm-hmm.
And life is very, very precious. So it kind of is nice to notice that. So then all those ideas about deficiency or worthlessness or worthiness can all come to rest. Everybody has equal value. And then the last noticing or invitation to notice would be to notice the amazing strength and resilience that's inherent in who we all are. Each one of us has had, you know, millions of experiences, millions of thoughts have moved through, sensations, millions of emotions have colored the stillness. We've all encountered harshness and disrespect, and yet we're still here. We are still willing to be here, and for the most part, we enjoy being here. So that points to an unshakable resilience.
Huh. Wow. Yeah, I like that's nice. That's nice. We were coming up on almost to the end of the hour.
Yes.
And that's such a perfect place. One last thing to talk about is I hear a lot about the Akashic records and that everything is being recorded and it's this and it's that and holographic. Would you like to share how we can notice the truth about that?
Well, each sage speaks uniquely, and each one of us is a sage. How I would speak to that would be those sages that spoke that way were trying to invite folks to notice that every action has has an effect, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an invitation for friends to be more aware and return to their natural harmlessness.
Right.
And clear seeing sees there's no other and everybody has equal value.
Right.
And the invitation was to meet all beings with respect and a knowing that each being is divine, and that includes nature and animals.
Right.
And how are we going to be with everyone if that's what's true? So some of that, speaking about Akashic Records and, you know, there's this all-seeing divinity that's watching you, so to speak, was an invitation to be aware.
Right, right.
That you're affecting the group consciousness.
Right, right.
And how are you going to live from moment to moment? It was a beautiful invitation from the sages.
Yes, and then...
Are you going to be yourself, or are you going to live out your life dissatisfied, restless, and conditioned?
Right, right. And we kind of, as you said, we coated that with plastic, and it became, it turned into something like a permanent thought form that we got stuck with.
Right.
And since we are all sages... All we have to do is be ourselves and speak our own truth, and that automatically brings it into the moment, and it doesn't matter how we express that, I guess, as long as we're
yeah, it'll be
it.
Fresh in the moment if yeah. the system is at rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
One quick thing that I just want to throw out there real rapidly is that there are so many people that are concerned about ETs and UFOs, and it seems to be a huge distraction. Is that, again, just another form of the other and self?
61 minutes.
1 minute left? Okay.
No,
yeah, it's just a projection
minutes.
Of other again.
Okay.
Everyone is the same intelligence. It doesn't
okay.
matter what planet they're on.
Okay, good. Good. Oh, thank you.
Thank okay.
you. I like that. Now, Pamela, Leslie. I mean,
Pamela. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm just so awed by this conversation that I'm in another world, and I have to remember to ask you what your site is and how people can find you.
Yes, it's www.pamela, P-A-M-E-L-A. And then Satsang, SATSANG.com.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pamela, for sharing
thank
your...
Thank you, Lance.
Oh, I just love you.
Oh, thank you, dear.
All right. And come back again, and you're welcome anytime.
Great.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.